Well, I'll give you a nickname too, then we'll call you Presty. How's that? There's your Australian nickname. Presto's better. There you go.
Welcome to Story and Craft. Now, here's your host, Mark Preston.
All right, here we go. Once again, back for another episode of Story and Craft. How you doing? If this is your first episode, my name is Mark. Glad to have you. If you've been here before, thank you for stopping back by. Today, we're sitting down with an Aussie. Always great to get guests from Australia. This one was a fun one. Sat down with actor David Barry. He plays Lord John Grey on the Starz series Outlander, and the series finale is tonight on Starz. Talked about a lot of things, his career, what it was like shooting Outlander. I always enjoy sitting down with folks from Australia. Got my very first Australian nickname. That's right, you know folks in Australia, and if you're on Australia, you know this. I like to shorten things up, nicknames for just everything, including nicknames for your friends. And he called me, well, you know what? I'm not going to give you the nickname he gave me. It's towards the end of the episode. But I got a nickname now. I got an Aussie nickname. I'm all proud of myself. Hey, do me a favor, if you would, grab your podcast app. Make sure to follow Story and Craft. That way you get a notification every time a new episode comes out. If you like the show, if you leave a review, if you leave stars, whatever have you, whatever podcast app you use, guess what? It helps people find the show, and I greatly appreciate that. Also, Story and Craft pod.com. Everything about the show and past guests, just head there. It's all right there. Of course, when you're on the website, make sure to sign up for the newsletter. It's the easiest way to stay in touch and get notified when we have new episodes and, you know, the other mischief we have going on. All right, so I tell you what, let's get after it, because today we're going down under. It's David Barry Day right here on Story and Craft. Background reminds me of those school pictures we took. I don't know if you did that in Australia where you had those annual school pictures. It's always the same background.
Look, it's an occupational hazard of talking to an actor that they probably have somewhere in their house a backdrop.
Oh, yeah.
It's just lifting the hood on all the BTS stuff of actors have to do in their lives, self-tapes. Yeah. And all.
You know, COVID threw fuel on that fire. Everybody had to have a backdrop. You know, I think I had my standard white one. You know, really, I was really boring.
You blur out the Zoom background and you put yourself in a fish tank or space or whatever. I think those were options in Zoom, wasn't it?
I should do something like that because I live right on the beach here, so I should have some kind of something, but no, it's just a street behind me here. But no, where are you at today?
I'm not in a grey box. I'm at home. I'm in Sydney, Australia.
You know, I haven't had an Australian on in quite a while. Y'all are always a lot of fun to have on. I have a good friend here in Texas, on the island I live. He introduced me to the concept of the sausage sizzle. We call them barbecues here, but he's like, no, we're doing a sausage sizzle. And so one of the things I love, as somebody talks for a living, is the innate sense that Australians have to shorten everything into a nickname or like a one-syllable thing if they can get away with it. Is that universal? Is that just kind of a cultural thing? Aussies love to come up with nicknames for everything, or is that just kind of what I picked up on?
No, I think you picked up on a cultural habit. My nickname in high school was Beza. That's Bezza. Everyone gets a nickname. If you don't have a nickname, there's probably something wrong with you. There's many little colloquialisms and shortenings of words. Don't know what that's about. I think we're just a very kind of laid back egalitarian culture as well. We like to, you know, treat everyone with, you know, the same level of not deference, but indifference. Is that a word? But if it isn't, then
we'll call it. Yeah, I mean, I completely
understand.
I should
shorten it to indefi.
Yeah, I think what's really cool is that you have a... As a culture, it's ribbing people, but also taking it. I think there's similarities to, you know, like the Irish culture to some degree, from what I understand. They call it the crack or whatever. You like to give it and take it at the same time, you know. So, I did notice. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's sort of a common cultural thread in most colonial places, you know, even like Scotland, Ireland, absolutely Canada. We're all countries that have been under the... you know, the rule of a foreign or a greater power. So we have that, what in Australia we call that larrikin attitude of a kind of a disrespect or towards authority. We have a certain attitude towards authority.
You're kind of like carving out your own space, you know, in a way. It's like, this is going to be our thing. I've never traveled to Australia. Always wanted to. Some of my favorite people I've had on the show are from Australia. Also, I spoke with Graham McTavish. Oh, God, it was probably a year or two ago. I don't remember when exactly, but he's Scottish, if I'm Correct. Right? Graham's a Scottish guy, right?
As far as he's a very British sounding Scottish man. I offend him. But yeah, as far as I understand, he's Scottish. I think so. Yeah. I mean, there's him, Sam, obviously, Richard. I mean, so many people on the show, obviously Scottish. I've worked in Scotland for the past 8 years, so lots of Scots on that show. And well, they have a real great simpatico with the Australian culture, too.
You know, I've always wanted to travel there. I just discovered, I think right before I spoke with Graham, I did the 23andMe. And, you know, I'm a Jewish kid from Texas whose family's from Ukraine. Found out, though, that I'm one quarter Scottish. I mean, really solid one quarter. I mean, I did the whole down the line thing. I was like, wow, okay. Even found out my family had a castle at one point in time, and they financed the Mayflower. Forgot what the name of it. I was sitting there going, wait, I thought my family got here in 1907. I got a little bit, you know, it dives deeper. Nothing like marriage to kind of blend people up there. But you said you've been doing this for 8 years. Is it something that... you know, for people that have done shows for a while, that have been, it's been a part of your life, you know, is it hard to kind of set it down whenever you're not shooting that, you know, to kind of step into another project?
Yeah, it is tough. I mean, it's great to have, as an actor, you know, that security of employment and to be on a show, to have that continuity of character and to get to explore a character in really great depth. And you know, like so often in this industry, you might play a role for, you know, be on set for only a day and, you know, have a guest appearance or something. But to have that privilege to really, you know, have that longevity is a real gift. At the same time, it can make transitions in and out of that very tough, because this also is an industry that is kind of defined by its, you know, uncertainty, and that one job doesn't necessarily lead to another, and you know, you have peaks and troughs in your career. So transitioning through, you know, the end of a long running show is a hard thing, not just from it, certainly from an identity point of view, but sort of a work habit thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an unusual situation to be on a show that lasts this length of time.
It's a blessing, but I don't know. It's, you did work in Australia, you know, and I'm trying to think, what's it, that one show that everybody, not Neighbours, but what's it, there's another show.
Home and Away?
Oh, yeah, it was Home and Away. Yeah, that's, if I remember, I did see that. I think I discovered it on Netflix. Isn't that like some ladies who inherit like a ranch or something? Am I vaguely kind of in the same ballpark there on that?
No, I think that's McLeod's daughters.
Oh, McLeod. Okay, never mind. You're right. Okay, so I was thinking of an Australian show, but I was listening to Keith Urban in an interview not too long ago, and he made a really interesting point that, you know, in Australia, you eventually hit a ceiling. You know, the population's only so big. You get to a point, you're just kind of going a circuit. Did you feel that itch? You know, I've done stuff here. I need to kind of break out and tap into the U.S. market or another market. Did you feel the same way about your ascent, you know, into acting or into your career, rather?
Yeah, I'm an actor who's really benefited from the ground that's been forged by some tremendous Australian actors that have, you know, really broke ground, the career aspirations of young Australian actors. We're talking like Cate Blanchett, we're talking Jeffrey Rush, we're talking Mel Gibson, Chris Hemsworth. This song, Margot Robbie is another one, like Jacob Elordi now is like making huge waves. And is it so many actors now, Australian actors, that have been able to expand their careers beyond Australia? At the same time, I think as an Australian, we just want to tell stories, and it would be great to tell more Australian stories. Even more names are coming up now, like Sam Worthington and Hugo Weaving. Although we are comparatively a very small nation compared to the US, we kind of, you know, punch above our weight in terms of the talent that we export. I think that sort of tells the story that there's such an abundance of talent here, but sort of, I guess, to your point, what Keith Urban was saying, there's just not enough work. It's really great when we do get that opportunity to work on projects that aren't just Australian stories, although those are important. And it was always a surprise to me to work on this show. I took a lot of pride, in fact, of sort of the reverse colonialism, to bring that back again, the idea of colonialism, of being an Australian speaking in a British accent. That sort of felt like I'm reclaiming something that probably belongs to a role that probably should belong to someone from the UK.
The fact you were in Australia, how did this come along? Was this the regular old-fashioned audition, or was this somebody's like, hey, you know, we saw this guy David's work. We think he's going to work on this show. How did it come to you?
It was just an audition, a regular old audition. I was in Australia at the time. The casting brief came through. And we don't always get the, like, big shows don't always cast their net out as wide as Australia. But you know, when they do that, you know, they're really invested in looking for the right person for the role. Outlander didn't really put any geographical restrictions on, you know, finding the perfect person. And I know that they were looking for a long time for Lord John before they eventually decided, okay, well, maybe we'll reach out to Australia. And it was a logistical kind of challenge to have me over there and to accommodate me and for me to make that journey every time to film. It was a huge, like, challenge in my life, like having to travel all that way. And also for them to, as I said, to make those accommodations to have an Australian on set. I'm very grateful for that opportunity.
Do you have a family in tow and you're making that trip, or do you have family leaving back in Australia while
Like,
you're gone?
a 25-hour flight is something that I would try to save anyone from doing. It's not a nice thing. Doesn't matter what class you're in. Yeah, 25 hours on a plane is never a nice thing. So it's something that I was very set that I wasn't going to put anyone else but myself through it. It's too destabilizing and it's too uncertain. So that made the journey or being away, doing the show very challenging for me, because it meant time away from family and, of course, loved ones. That's not specific to, like, this job in particular. I know in this career, you know, actors spend a lot of time away from home, but having that extra distance made it, I don't know, I guess for me, a little bit more, even more challenging.
The actor's life is a very interesting one. I found everybody I've spoken with, the traveling can be an exciting, just fun, memorable thing, but it can also be a bummer at times, you know. I'm assuming y'all do shoot in Scotland, correct?
Yeah. Scotland is, of course, one of the other major appealing factors of the show. It has its own character in the show. It has its dramatic landscapes and moody, I'm being poetic, moody moors and grey skies and all that kind of stuff. It's such a vivid, dreamlike environment to be in, especially those highlands. And the energy of even Glasgow and all that kind of stuff just infuses itself into the work on screen. But of course, like, we do shoot Scotland for North Carolina, which, funnily enough, is a fairly good analog. I've been to North Carolina myself, and it kind of tracks. It's funny that Scotland can also be a stand-in for other parts of the world.
I definitely want to go there. I want to, you know, I'm a big fan of getting to places I've never been and eating, you know, and I'm kind of curious about some of the Scottish food. Seems very hearty, you know. Is there any favorite thing you've found that you like to eat whenever you land in Scotland that is kind of like your jam?
Yeah, food is a tough one for me in Scotland. I think there couldn't be any two cultures more opposed in, or, well, Sydney, as a Sydney boy, Sydney and this isn't just my observation. I've had other people visit and say the same thing. It's a lifestyle. It's a healthy, active lifestyle, and probably too much so. Like, people are obsessive about, much like California in many ways, it's an outdoor lifestyle. You have, like, Bondi Beach, and people are eating salads and, you know, finding any ways to, you know, like, hack their health and all that kind of stuff. You go to Scotland and it's the complete opposite. People want to, you know, have hearty comfort food. You can find a fried version of practically anything you can think of. We're talking pizza, we're talking Mars bars, we're talking haggis.
I saw something called
What's that?
King's Rib that doesn't
King's
really,
rib.
nobody really knows what it is, but it's some kind of fried meat of somewhere, you know. But I definitely want to go there. There's something about Scotland I think would just be make for a wonderful trip. Just be able to look out and see that much green, you know, that'd be pretty cool.
Hey, I'm Andy from the Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
The Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
Our show is pretty simple. Five lifelong friends competing on a single topic to see who gets bragging rights. Each episode, Nick, Scott, Brian, Kelly, and I battle through 10 questions on movies, music, science, history, sports, whatever we decide to throw in the blender for that week. Every episode stands on its own, so you can jump in wherever your curiosity takes you. And we don't just stop at right or wrong. We get into the backstory, the origins, the weird facts, and the stuff that has you saying, "How did I not know that already?" So download an episode, play along, keep score, and tell us how you do. See if you can beat the crew on the Ultimate Trivia Podcast.
But, you know, speaking of food, one of the things I always like to do whenever I speak with folks, something I call my seven questions, a little extra get to know you. And speaking of food, I always talk about it at least once, but what is your favorite comfort food? You know, that thing that if you're having a wonderful day, it adds to it. Or if you're having a crappy day, it kind of, you know, kind of softens the rough edges. What would that be for you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. It's a burger. I love a burger. And in fact, you know, filming Outlander, there were many times that I smashed a burger after a really tough scene. I would reward myself with one of the burgers. I will say that, if you want a good burger, Scotland is a great place for burgers. So I had my fair share of those.
Very good. Very good. Next question. If you're going to sit down with three people, you're going to talk story for a few hours, living or not, who would those three people be that you would like to sit down and spend an afternoon just chatting with? Just three people and you, who would that be?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know. It changes. Let's see. I don't know why. I'm just going to just shoot off the cuff. Louis Theroux comes to mind. I don't know. I find that guy really charming and fascinating and intelligent and very erudite. And I think I love his curiosity about the world. I think we share a similar kind of curiosity about the world. I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts, and I did study politics at university. So I don't know if this is a deep cut for anyone, but I do love listening to Ezra Klein. So he's also someone that political like analysis and stuff I'd love to like listen to and talk to him about. And then I'm guessing this table is sounding a bit dry at the moment, so I think I need to liven it up somehow. I don't know who's a good third person that can bring a bit of, you know, pizzazz or flair to it. I don't know. I need like a comedian or something to liven up the atmosphere.
We can contemplate that for a moment and come back to it. Certainly. You know, comedian. Yeah. Cause you gotta have a table that's balanced. Cause you gotta watch them talking amongst each other. That's what makes it fun also, you know?
Yeah.
Now the next question, if we go back when you were a kid, very first celebrity crush.
I think, that's right. Mariah Carey. Sounds good. But I remember when that Daydream album came out and there were like posters of it around like record shops.
I know exactly when you're talking about.
Okay, great. I would stare at it and I was probably like 8 years old at the time. And I guess I wasn't aware of what was going through my head or through my body. But I would say to mom, I want to listen to that album. Even though I had no interest in her music.
I will say one of mine is Olivia Newton-John. So, you know, my Aussie connection goes pretty far back. Now, if you're going to be on an island for a year, a beautiful island, somewhere you want to be, it's exotic, it's nice, but no streaming, okay? So if you want to listen to music, you can only bring one album or a box set, and you're allowed to bring one DVD. But music, you listen to over and over, and a movie you can watch over and over for the entire year. What would that CD and DVD be?
I hate picking favorites. But I guess I just have to go with what I listen to a lot. And if I pull up my phone now, I could probably tell you my most played. I know that, God, I hate picking favorites. I listen to a lot of John Mayer. I love his music. So I think he's a great artist. And then in terms of movies, like a movie that I've watched, which is a perfect movie, and I've watched time and time again, and I know that this sounds really weird, but it's Predator. I love that movie. I think it's just one of the most perfect movies.
It's a quintessential 80s action movie. You know, it's muscles, guns, you know, some kind of, it was all there. Yeah.
Yeah.
The next question, if you were to define for yourself a perfect day, from the time you get up, time you go to bed, what would be the ingredients, the component parts for you to go, God, that was a perfect day for me?
Well, I'm not a person who likes to plan very much. I really like spontaneity. I guess it would be a day that kind of just magically works itself out. It would involve probably being, you know, in the company of family and loved ones. Definitely, it would probably involve a burger, and it would definitely involve like a nice long walk and like maybe a movie, maybe just being outside. So I sound terribly boring, but I really am. Like, that's pretty much it.
You know what I think is, we find our peace. We find that thing that we're comforted by, that just feels right for us. It's like that broken in pair of blue jeans you've got, or tennis shoes. It's just right for you. You know, I'm the same way. Yeah. I don't require a lot. I do have to ask you though, when you're saying the burger, I just want to know, is it mustard, ketchup? What is the condiment you put on your burger? And what is absolutely not allowed on your burger?
Don't like to make rules, there's a kind of time-honored combo that just doesn't fail, which is tomato, lettuce, onion, pickle, mustard, definitely, and ketchup. That's pretty much, like, that's the holy combo, I think.
That's very good. Very good. I appreciate that. You know, because burger is not supposed to be like pizza, not supposed to be fancy. And everybody tries to fancy them up over here. It's like a good old fashioned, just good burger. It's a little bit messy. That's the way to go. See, and I'm hungry now. It's dinner time over here. Now, last two questions. If you weren't doing this for a living, if somebody said, you know what, David, no acting for you, no creative, no nothing else in this ecosystem is going to be available to you, what would be your next vocation you would choose?
I don't know. I really don't know. I started out studying to do law, and then I started out, then I went into journalism for a bit. I even, you know, dabbled in a little bit of a sales role for 2 minutes before I got fired. I'm just not sure if I'm cut out for anything else.
You know, I hear that a lot. It's like, if you can imagine yourself doing something else, maybe this isn't the thing for you. I hear that a lot, you know. Where people are like, no, this is just my thing, you know. God. And by the way, sales, I couldn't do that. I've tried throughout the year. Well, you know, I was in my younger years.
Neither could I. Look, but I'm very lucky to have a job where, you know, it's like a vocational kind of thing, you know, people. There's nothing wrong with those other jobs, and I'm sure I have worked other jobs just for money. And there's this, the dignity of just earning money is a great thing. But I'm very lucky so far that it's worked out that I, you know, have a career in acting, but we'll see.
Very good. Well, the last question I got for you, if you could jump in that DeLorean and you can go back to when you were 16 years old and you got a piece of advice for yourself to make that moment a little bit better, or maybe get you on a little bit different trajectory, what would the advice to 16-year-old you be?
Gosh. I love the Back to the Future reference. One of my favorite films that could easily replace Predator as the perfect desert island film. 16-year-old me probably wouldn't listen to 42-year-old me, but it would just, God, again, it's so hard to say, it doesn't slip into cliche, just relax. I was a very kind of anxious 16-year-old, wasn't sure if things were going to work out, but, you know, take your time and relax. You've got time, I guess.
Very nice. That's within the same box of something I hear often. Go easy on yourself. Take it easy. Breathe. It's, you know, I hear that a lot. I think so. It must be just in the actor DNA. But my friend, thank you so much for spending some time with me. I know this has been kind of it's a long day. So, you know, I appreciate you spending time. And Outlander, y'all wrapped for the season, correct?
Wrapped for the series. Series wrap.
Well, one last question. What's next on your agenda? What's next up for you?
Well, I don't know. But I have the freedom to kind of breathe and, I guess, take it easy on myself and give myself time. The advice I give my 16-year-old self is the advice I give myself now. We'll see. Wait and see.
Well, think of me finally next time you're chowing down on one of those burgers. Hopefully there's a proper beer.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a nickname too. Then we'll call you Presty. How's that? There's your Australian nickname. Presto. Actually, Presto is better. Presto. There you go.
I'm not one for getting a tattoo, but if I do, it will be Presto, and I will get your people to give you a picture of it wherever it happens to be. But you take care, my friend, and hopefully we'll catch up down the line.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. David Barry, or Beza, as he is known, and me, I'm Presto. Okay, finally got my Australian nickname. I cannot begin to tell you how overjoyed I am. I finally have a nickname. I don't think I've ever had a nickname, but I got an Australian one. For this Texas kid, that's kind of cool. I'll tell you what, I would really love for you to just grab your podcast app right now. Whichever one you're using, make sure to follow the show. Get notifications. New episode, you'll find out right then. Also, leave a review, stars, you know, like the show, whatever podcast app you use. That little interaction helps people to find the show, and that is greatly appreciated. Also, Story and Craft pod.com, the website, sign up for the newsletter. That way you get notified when new episodes come out and all other kind of good stuff that we have going on. Great episodes to come. We're really pushing into 2 episodes per week. Such cool guests coming up. We got a constellation of folks, and we're heading into the summer movie season. So all kinds of great stuff to come. Tell you what, I'm going to get on out of here, but before I do, I wanted to thank you, as I always do, for making what I got going on here part of whatever you've got going on. It means a lot to me every time you pop by, so thank you. Have a great rest of your day or evening or whatever you got going on. Be safe, take good care of yourself, and I'll see you next time on the next episode of Story and Craft. Take care.
That's it for this episode of Story and Craft. Join Mark next week for more conversation right here on Story and Craft. Story and Craft is a presentation of Mark Preston Productions, LLC. Executive producer is Mark Preston. Associate producer is Zachary Holden. Please rate and review Story and Craft on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. You can subscribe to show updates and stay in the know. Just head to storyandcraftpod.com and sign up for the newsletter. I'm Emma Dillon. See you next time, and remember, keep telling your story. Come on.